Blog Talk Radio.
How's everybody doing this evening? I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYBP locker room, and I'm excited about tonight's show, you guys, because this show is directly in line with what we want out of our guests, out of the people that we bring in and host. This is a gentleman that has an extensive resume, you guys, on the football field and also off the football field. This is somebody, to a certain degree, is like a big brother to me because he attended the same university that I played my college football at, the University of Colorado. He's somebody that is high respect in Boulder, Colorado, for what he accomplished on the field. Two-time national championship game participant. He went on to win the 1990 national championship. 28-5-2 record as a college quarterback. Back in his time, the University of Colorado was in the Big 8. Now they're in the Pac-12, but 20-0-1 as a Big 8 quarterback. I mean, basically, you're talking about every time he stepped the field for the Colorado Buffaloes. Finished 5th his sophomore year in the Heisman voting. And went on to play in the NFL and in the Canadian Football League. Now he is the current running back coach at the University of Colorado, his alma mater. We're so gracious for his time and to have him on, and that's none other than Mr. Darian Hagan. Coach Hagan, can you hear us tonight?
I can hear you loud and clear, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's a pleasure to have you on. We've had you in the locker room before, but I know this is a busy time for you. I know it's a year-round business, college football, so right. We really appreciate your time.
No, thank you for having me. Anytime I get asked to do something by former Buff or a brother of mine, I'm all for it, man. So just thanks for having me on the show tonight.
Perfect. Hey, Coach, I don't want to take up too much of your time. For those that don't know, my Buffs are in spring ball right now, so they're getting after it, guys are trying to earn positions on the depth chart. But for those that don't know you, Coach Hagan, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from South Central LA, Los Angeles, California. I went to Locke High School.
Locke High School, and school that's produced a lot of talent. When you were in school, because you mentioned being in LA, and sometimes I know that may come with distractions for young men, who was it that helped keep you on track academically and socially when you were growing up?
Well, I would say it would have to be my great uncle. He just passed here about 2 weeks ago, and He was like a father figure to me. My dad wasn't really in my life, but my uncle, he raised two boys and two girls, and I wound up living with him when I was in the seventh grade. And he made sure that we took care of business in school. He made sure we were good citizens, good in the community. So he kept me on track, and he was a guy that I really looked up to and I aspired to be like, and the man I am today is because of him.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that he passed, and I know that he was super proud of what you accomplished as a player in person. How big was the adjustment from Los Angeles to Boulder, Colorado? I know it's night and day now, so it probably was when you were coming out. How big of an adjustment was that for you?
It was a big adjustment because, you know, I came from a high school in an area in Los Angeles that was 99% African-American and the other 1% being Hispanic. And to get to Colorado and everything's reversed now, I'm the 1%, you know, I'm in the 1%. It was difficult, but at the same time, you knew going into it, you know, when you went on your recruiting visits, I went to Oklahoma, I went to Nebraska, I went to the University of Washington, went to University of Arizona and in Colorado, you knew that, you were going to be in the minority, and it was just an opportunity for you to, you know, reach your goals and attain things that you never thought you could attain. And so you just dealt with it, and you know you became closer to your brothers, and you guys did everything together, and you try to stay away, you know, from parties and things like that, and just, you know, gel and you know, get close off the field. And then we had great leadership with Coach McCartney. You know, he made sure that, you know, we had the white guys and the black guys on the team, you know, cared for each other and looked out for each other in every area. So it was pretty easy transition because of his leadership.
Definitely, very special moment in Colorado football history. You know that we work with student athletes. We work with football players across the country, and so many of them are trying to decide, Coach Hagan, whether to stay close to home or go away for college. Do you recommend that athletes go away, or do you think some guys need to stay close to home?
Well, I think, you know, it can go – it's a two-way street, but at the same time, I think that if you stay close to home, you don't grow. If you leave, you're forced to grow, and you have to remake yourself. You have to get new friends. You have to get a whole different identity. You got to get comfortable in your environment. You got to know, you know, how to get to class and things like that. If you stay close to home, everything's the same. You know, it's the same routine. You know, the same people. And plus, you can get distracted by your close friends. Your close friends who don't go to college, those guys ain't really got a lot to do. So you're in school and you're trying to better yourself, and your friends can come up there to the school and distract you from, you know, going to class, you know, going to parties and things like that. I really, really tell guys all the time, man, get away from home, man, and get to know other people and remake yourself. And, you know, just look at you and I, man, and by getting away and going out of state, we're able to grow and become better people and see that it's a big old world out there.
Definitely, and you spread that network, so that's well said right there. Talk to me about playing for the legendary Coach McCartney. He was out leaving as I was coming in, so I didn't get the honor to play for him. But, you know, legendary college coach. How did playing for him affect you as a player in person?
Well, playing for Coach McCartney, it taught you that you're going to be held accountable. Nothing's going to be easy. Nothing was going to be given to you. But if you followed the plan, did everything you were supposed to do the right way, you're going to have success, and you're going to be, you know, have a well-rounded college experience. That's what college is all about, having a well-rounded experience. If you go to a place and play for some people who just strictly are about football and not about the whole mental makeup of getting a young man to grow as a person, then you're not going to have a well-rounded experience. You're going to be a bitter person once you're done with playing college football. You know, playing for him, man, it was an honor. He was a father figure to 105 guys on the team. You know, when I was getting recruited by him, it's funny because I was going to go to the University of Nebraska. And as you know, in L.A. where I grew up at, you got the Bloods and Crips, and you got the same thing in the Bay Area. But, you know, we had the Bloods and Crips, and the neighborhood was the Crips. And I hadn't even thought about if I went to Nebraska and put on that red uniform when I came home, I was going to be in danger zone. And he mentioned that to my mom and my aunt. And that was the first time we even thought about that. So that was another reason why, you know, I picked University of Colorado, because he was looking out for my future, looking out for my family, and looking out for me as a person.
It's just amazing sitting here listening to the story, because literally a few decisions here and there, your decision to go to Colorado, Coach Mack's decision to recruit a few other players, changed the history of Colorado football.
Right.
So it's just interesting to hear that. Talk to me about being a quarterback. I was a high school quarterback, but I knew once I got to see you that I was switching to defense. You played quarterback in college, had a phenomenal record, and obviously became an All-American. What does it mean, in your opinion, Coach Hagan, to play quarterback at that level? What does it mean to be the CEO of the team?
Well, it means a lot. It means that, you know, that you got a head coach that has a philosophy, and his philosophy was not going to be, you know, taken lightly. He wanted certain players to play certain positions. He wanted to run a certain offense. He wanted to do certain things defensively. It just so happened offensively I fit into his plans, you know, as an option quarterback, a guy who could, you know, who could run the ball and put stress on the defense. And that's something that he wanted, and that's something that I was looking forward to, you know, growing up in L.A. and watching the University of Nebraska, watching the University of Oklahoma quarterbacks run the ball. You know, those guys became my idols, and I wanted to play in a system similar to that. So when Coach Partner gave me an opportunity, you know, I jumped at it. You know, that was something that was special, because, you know, back then it wasn't a lot of black quarterbacks given an opportunity to play that position. So just to play that position and be successful at it was a blessing, and is a blessing to me.
When did you realize that you could dominate? Because all players are looking for respect. All players are trying to see if they can survive and fit. When did you realize that, oh, man, I can dominate at this level?
Well, when I first went to the University of Colorado, my freshman year, you know, obviously I was talented. Or I would never have had a scholarship. But I never had to study. I never had to study a playbook. I never had to watch film, you know, in high school. Just get on the football field and just do your thing. You know, we didn't have blocking schemes. We didn't have to read defenses. We didn't have any of that stuff going on. So when I got to college and had to get those things and do those things, man, it was like, you know, Chinese, you know, arithmetic, man. I had no idea what I was doing. And then when going into my sophomore year, when Sal and Leslie had gotten sick, I knew that I had to grow up and I had to start studying. I had to be more responsible. I had to, you know, help lead some older men, you know, to help them attain their dreams. And everything was on my shoulders. And if I didn't do it, you know, the right way, you know, the guys wouldn't have respect for me for the rest of my life. And that was something I never wanted to be a bad guy. So I started meeting with Coach Barnett, you know, two and three times a day. And by, you know, before we started spring ball, I knew the offense like the back of my hand. And, you know, I could look at the defense before they even lined up and get us in the right call. So I knew from that point on that, you know, just by studying and being an athlete, you know, they say, you know, 10% of football is being athletic. You know, the other 90% is mental. And I realized that right away after I started meeting with Coach Barnett, and I knew I could have success because of that.
Great story right there. You definitely own the situation. And did you always know that you were going to eventually become a coach? How did that evolve?
Actually, I did not know I was going to be a coach. When I was done playing in the CFL and I came back to the University of Colorado as the C-Cup director, you know, I wasn't making a lot of money, but money at that time wasn't very important to me. I just wanted to be back at the University of Colorado and help some kids, you know, realize their dreams. And then Coach Barnett called me out of the blue 3 years straight, kept telling me, you need to be a coach. You'll be a good coach. You need to be a coach. I'm like, Coach, I'm not doing that. And he said, come on, you need to do it for the last time. And this was the third year. And he told me that he would take care of me, he would look after me, and I just jumped out on the whim and decided I would try it. And 6 months later, I was named the wide receiver coach, and I've been at the University of Colorado ever since 2002.
Amazing. That's great for you to be able to come back to your alma mater and coach there. Amazing season that you guys just had. South Division champions in the Pac-12, 8-1 record, 10-4 overall. This was after multiple years, as you know, of being the doormat in the Pac-12. What was your biggest takeaway from this season, and why do you think it was such a drastic change?
Well, I think our guys got tired of getting hit in the mouth. They got tired of getting being the team that everyone talked about badly and joked about. And at the same time, you know, we had guys that, you know, were playing as freshmen when we were getting ran through. And now those guys were juniors and seniors, and those guys had become from boys to men. And they knew what to expect in the defense, they knew the offense. You know, they knew what it took to become champions, and we believed that we could be champions, and we just went out, man. Every time we played, we just had a belief that no one was better than us. You know, just like the teams that you played on, the teams that I played on, every time we stepped on the field, we believed that we were the best. And, you know, we always thought that when you come to Folsom, we're going to put it on you. You're not going to win at Folsom. And our guys believed that, and we just went out and played with way more confidence that we've had played in the previous 4 years.
So, you know, that's good that you brought that up, because when I finished up, we won the Big 12 championship, but we had Coach Bieniemy on our team who instilled that confidence. Now you guys are fighting for a Pac-12 championship, and they have people like you, people like the Coach Shiverini that have been around winning environments. Do you think that things have changed for good, or do you think it's going to be a fight to stay at the top of the Pac-12?
No, I don't think it's going to be a fight. I think our guys realize what it takes to be champions. You know, we've recruited well. We have way more talent than we had in previous years when we first started. You know, coming from the Big 8 and from the Big 12 to the Pac-12, you know, and not winning a lot of games in the Big 12, you know, kids kind of shy away from you when you're not winning. And, you know, we had to go out and get 2-star, 3-star recruits, and those type of recruits normally people say that you can't win with. But we went out and we found the guys that fit our program that we thought we could develop into really, really good football players, and it showed this year. So I believe that, you know, we're here to stay, and we have the talent that we need. This year's recruiting class, we had four-star guys, and, you know, we just, you know, like I said, winning cures all evil. And by winning this year, we got a lot of guys that wanted to be Buffs. And then as you went on the recruiting trail, in January, making sure that these guys wanted to be Buffs and they were going to stay Buffs, the younger 2018, 2019 kids, they took notice, and they're all falling in line, want to be Buffs. So I think we're here to stay.
Great. And that's definitely some good news to hear. And for those that are just joining us, we're in the BYGP locker room. I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood. We've been blessed with the time of Coach Darius and Hagan, a former Buff legend on the field, but also now the running backs coach for the Buffs. You had a very successful running back that you coached this year, Philip Lindsay, an all Pac-12 performer. What is it that makes Philip a special running back?
Well, Philip is a guy that when he steps on the football field, he turns into a warrior. All the guys call him Tasmanian Devil, because the guy goes 100% in everything he does. When he has the pass block, he's going against much bigger people, and he goes in there with a tenacious attitude. He never quits. You know, he's just a physical guy in pass protection. And in the run game, he's a guy that's patient, got really good vision, and he's also a guy that can make you miss. But at the same time, he's just really, really special in what he's trying to do as a running back. He's just a really good player, a really good person. He's a great leader. You know, guys follow his lead. And he's a guy that doesn't take you know, mediocre. He doesn't want to be mediocre. He wants to be the best at everything he does in the classroom and on the football field. And that's why he had success this year, because he didn't take no for an answer. He went out and performed to the best of his ability. And that's why he was a 1,000-yard rusher and all Pac-12 player.
Great nugget of advice right there for any student athletes that want to get after it and play at a big time level on how you need to work to get to have success. Talk to me a little bit about recruiting. Obviously, you guys are trying to build a program that stays at the top of the Pac-12. What are the main areas as far as states that Colorado wants to focus on?
We have six coaches in California. We have four coaches in Dallas, Texas. We have four coaches in Houston, Texas. And then we recruit peripheral areas where in Colorado we have four. But we recruit peripheral areas where we have connections and where players have an interest in Colorado. So we'll go down to Florida. We'll go down to Georgia. We'll go to Tennessee, you know, things like that. We guys have a connection with certain schools, certain players. And those kids have they have an interest in the University of Colorado. We'll go to those places. But primarily it's Colorado, California, and Texas.
And like I said, and as you know, we've got kids and athletes, young men and parents listening tonight. I know you've been around football your whole life, so you've seen it all. What gets you excited, Coach Hagan, when you check out a potential recruit, when you're checking out the film? What do you look for?
Well, I recruit every position. I don't recruit just running back. So every coach has an idea of what they're looking for. But what I look for is not what other coaches look for. I look for ideal size. I look for speed. I look for, you know, if a running back is getting the ball, and, you know, is he going to run to the best of his ability, or is he going to be a guy that's going to be a loafer? If he's not getting the ball, is he going to finish a play like pass protection? Is he going to, you know, come up and try to, you know, dismantle a guy, or is he just going to sit back and let a guy just run through him, and he's going to, you know, tense up and not be that player that we're looking for? I'll give you a great example. We play a 3-4 defense, and our defensive ends are not normal defensive ends. So when I go out and recruit this year, I was looking for big guys. So I found a guy in Southern California, 6'7", 285-pound defensive end, you know, runs a 4.7. You know, that's a special guy. That's what we're looking for at our defensive ends. You know, big, tall, long, rangy guys that can put on 300 pounds and that can run. And then, you know, at wide receiver, we look for length. We look for, you know, ball skills and things like that. And same thing with corners.
Wow, it's amazing that they're growing them that big nowadays.
Yeah.
Was that a high school or junior college kid?
No, it was a high school kid. Just turned 17.
Oh, my gosh.
Size 17 shoe. You know, he's a guy that he'll be a 310 pounder. He'll be a guy that'll dominate once he gets here in June. You know, he's a really talented player. And the crazy thing is, he was recruited by a number of Pac-12 schools only because people talked about him. But because he went to a school that no one ever traveled to, and I just happened to be listening to a coach telling another coach, you need to go to this school and you need to go recruit this kid. So I listened to the coach tell the other coach that from Nebraska, and I beat him over to the school, and now he's buff.
Yeah, there you go. Those are the stories we like. I know we don't play in Nebraska, but that was a good hustle story right there. I appreciate that.
Right.
And for you young athletes listening, hey, you never know. You may impress one coach, and then you get a referral to the school where you're supposed to land. So that's a good one. We've got a couple more questions here for Coach Hagan. We definitely appreciate the time. Coach,
yep.
Do you think it's harder to pick up on whether or not a kid can make it socially and morally at a school like TU today? Is that harder for you to pick up on?
No, I think it's easier to pick up on it. because when you go to the schools now, you don't just go and try to get film and leave. You've already evaluated his film. That's why you're going to the school, because you have an interest. Now you're going to the school to talk to a counselor, talk to a coach, you know, even talk to a janitor in the hallway, because sometimes these janitors in the hallway, you know, are more familiar with the kid than the coaches. Some of these coaches don't have no idea or don't even want to be a part of recruiting. So that janitor, the guy that loves sports, and he'll be a guy that'll be like, hey, man, you need to be doing this. Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing that? And he can have, you know, a greater influence on the kid than the coach. So you're talking to everybody that has a positive influence on this kid. So you'll know his character, his mental makeup, and all those things before you even start recruiting. So it's easier. So you'll be like, okay, this guy can fit in Boulder. He's our type of kid. You know, he's the type of kid we want to have, you know, in our program. You know, he has no character issues, things like that.
Okay, perfect. And I also wanted to ask you from a competitive standpoint. I know you also have a younger son that played major college football at Cal Berkeley, Darren Jr. Mm-hmm. What if you could take yourself back to when he was coming out, or maybe a young kid mm-hmm. that's about to go to school here shortly, mm-hmm. What can you tell them from a competitive standpoint? How do they need to be as a competitor to find their way in major college football?
Well, I can tell them this. This is one thing that we use a lot in our program. You know, you're young, you're going to make mistakes because you don't know everything. You come into a place where it's a new system, it's a new atmosphere, it's a new community. You're on your own for the first time, you know. So when you get to practice and come out there on the football field, it's going to be sort of familiar to you because you've played football, the game of football before. But I guarantee you, no one has ever told you one snap and clear. We use one snap and clear because everybody is going to make a mistake. You know, you're not going to be consistent right away in your freshman year. You know, you're not going to do everything correctly. So one snap and clear means you got to go one play at a time and not hang on to the bad play and not hang on to the good play, because nowadays in college football, the way teams on offense go really, really fast, if you're a defensive player and you got beat for a first down and you're holding on to that you got beat for a first down, you're going to be in a tank, and who's going to come? People are going to attack you. You're not going to be able to reach your full potential because you're going to be lacking confidence. So one snap and clear, get rid of it and, you know, get back there and compete. And that's what we use, and that's where our guys constantly just – you see them battling all the time once that's been clear.
I like it. You guys definitely played that way this year. You guys could tell that you guys were well-coached in a team that played four quarters. So one snap and clear, I like it. Last question of the night, Coach Hagan, and once again, definitely appreciate the time. For these kids that are hanging on to every word that you say, you know, they're sitting here and they want that scholarship. They may mm-hmm. be thinking about Colorado. This is a place that you coach and you play. What makes EU a special place to go to for school and to play football for?
I would say, you know, throughout the years, you know, University of Colorado, you know, it's been a place where guys genuinely love each other, play for each other, have each other's back, want to see one another have success. It's not a place where people are selfish, looking out for themselves. They're always picking up their brother. They always want to see them do well and themselves do well. But at the same time, you know it's a competitive field because it's a game of football and there's only one football. And in certain positions, there's only one player can play at a time. But you root for your brother, you love your brother, and you want to make sure that they have success and you have success, and it's a well-rounded experience. But, you know, like Coach Mack, when I was playing, as he told us all the time, you know, everything in life, you know, it falls on leadership. And if leadership is not good from the top, you know, the team's not going to be very good. If leadership is good from the top, everybody's going to fall in line. And the leadership that the players have amongst themselves, because they police themselves, they are going to lead by example because they believe in the leadership. And that's why University of Colorado has been a special place. You know, academically, you know, we hold guys accountable. You know, especially if you know, you get a degree from University of Colorado, you can get a job anywhere. And then on the football field, same thing. You know, you do well at the University of Colorado, man, you're gonna have every scout coming to practice, every scout coming to games, and you're gonna have an opportunity to play in the NFL. So by just falling in line with each other and being there for each other, that's why University of Colorado has always been special, and it's special again.
Wow, man, I love it, and you sold me all over again. So, hey, I thank you so much for your time tonight, and
yes,
I really appreciate what you guys are doing there. Keep up the great work. We got a Big 8 championship, a Big 12 championship. Bring home the Pac-12 championship.
It's coming, brother. Just keep believing in us. Keep coming around. Keep bringing kids and you know, giving them the what it looks like to be a Buff, and you know, we'll all get there together. Appreciate you.
No doubt. Have a good one, D. Hagan.
All right, babe. You too. Good night.
All right. So there you guys have it. That's Coach Darian Hagan, very, very special guest tonight. That is somebody, once again, he's done it as a player. Now he's doing it as a coach. And that is somebody that you guys might hear from, some of you recruits that are looking at CU or potentially wanting to see if CU would be interested in you. He's a good contact for us, and he really believes in what we're doing with Before You Go Pro. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. I know you did. And once again, really appreciate Coach Hagan's time. If you guys didn't get to hear last Thursday's show, we had a great one. We actually brought on for the very first time, you guys, our BYGP coaches. These are the guys that are mentors for the student athletes that we work with at Before You Go Pro. We're not just the content company. We have content that wants and is geared towards keeping you in line for your goals as a student athlete. But we also work hand in hand on a weekly basis with student athletes, football players at the high school and junior college level across the country. So we had our coaches on last week. They killed it, and they really got into the mission of Before You Go Pro and how we service our student athletes and parents. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. You can archive or head over to our website to listen to all of our archives. If you go to the homepage and you click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner by our other social networking links, you can access all of our Before You Go Pro locker room archive shows. And we brought in coaches, we brought in players, we brought in guys who went to the Pro Bowl, Super Bowl winners, psychologists, you name it, we've had it on our show. And it's all to bring value to your journey. So I am Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for Before You Go Pro and the rest of Before You Go Pro family. Hopefully you guys have a good night, and we will definitely see you at the top.